Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, you guys ready for this morning? I love meeting God in His Word. Listen, if you made it past the greeters and didn't get a handout, the ushers are going to quickly move through the auditorium to make sure everyone gets sermon notes today that would like to do that. And I want to encourage you to be ready to capture what God talks to you about while we're studying the Scriptures today. It may be something I say, it may be something He says to you while I'm preaching and teaching His Word, but always be ready. You know, that video news we were watching ended up with two specific video clips. One was our At the Movie series that's coming up. Here in just a couple weeks, as we start into November, we're going to be using the At the Movie series, and we're doing that on purpose. Everyone say, on purpose. The reason we're doing that is because we believe that if we'll find a way to take the everyday experience people have and contextualize the actual truth, of the timeless truth of God's words wrapped into experiences and images and things we understand, God uses that in a similar way that Jesus experienced when He taught people using parables in His time. I fully believe Jesus would have used movie clips if they were available, but at that point, they just weren't available, so He did what they did in that season. He told stories. Well, today, we're going to be doing the same thing, and towards that end, we actually have prepared some of the invite kits that you'll see on the way out today. Be sure you grab one of those. Be ready to invite people. All of this is designed so you can make the most of your own voice to invite people to come and experience what you've already experienced at LifeLink Church, life change. Amen. That's why we're doing all of this. So don't let it go by and not take advantage of it. I will give you one note of caution. We did get an email from one of our neighbors, I think in the Queen Creek area, who was kind enough to let us know that one of our LifeLink members who's doing the very thing I'm talking to you about, they were creative enough to put the invite right beside a no soliciting decal on their front door. And they wanted us to know that in case we weren't able to read, that perhaps that would have been a better house not to put it right beside the decal that says don't solicit. So if you're going to invite, and I hope you do, be creative with it, but honestly honor people's intention. If they specifically say don't solicit, then let's just pray for them and move on by. God's got another way He's going to do it. Amen? All right, well, if you're ready to go for this, we're going to wrap up today our series called #Struggles, and we've been working our way through this. It has been one of my favorite sermon series all year long. I've loved it because it really meets us right where we are. We're in the middle of a flow of experience, and God's taken the opportunity through His Word and heads up ideas that sometimes the things we feel are good and helpful can actually become counterproductive in our lives if we're not paying attention to how we use them, all right? So #Struggles, how to follow Jesus in a selfie-centered world, all right? How many of you have enjoyed the series so far? God's talking to you a little bit? Me too. So what we're going to do today is we're going to focus on the topic of rest. In fact, I've instructed the technology team at when I say the word rest, the next time they're supposed to turn the lights out, pillows will magically appear in front of you. You can just go to sleep. Now, some of you are already asleep. You have no idea what you actually look like from up here. You think you can hide, but you can't. It's so much fun. I love church with you guys on Sunday morning. But honestly, what we're talking about is a different kind of rest, not a kind of a day off or whatever it is, but rest in a different part of who we are. Rest in our soul. Everyone say soul. All right, that's different than taking a nap or sleeping at night. Rest in your soul is different. And so we're going to take a quick look at this. You may be wondering, well, if the context of what we're dealing with is a selfie-centered world, then the fact that we're paying attention to ourselves, doesn't that mean we're actually paying attention to what we need, including ideas of rest? Well, this is where this whole idea gets tricky. Because we get swept into things and not realize the counterproductive things that happen to us in the flow of the experience of them. And here's what studies have shown, that as we become more and more tethered to these devices, what's interesting is that we find there's a direct correlation to the more we're tethered to these devices, the less rest our souls get. I'll say that again. The more tethered we are, the less able we're able to let go of stuff like technology, the less rest our souls actually experience. And I hope today, if you'll allow me to work my way through this message, that there is perhaps some context that will click for you. And you go, you know what? I see what you're saying. In fact, there's a new term sociologists are working with. They've called it nomophobia. Nomophobia. Everyone say it with me. Nomophobia. All right? Now, I said the word just exactly like I meant to say it. Nomophobia. Nomophobia. All right? The idea is, there's a phobia that's becoming identified with the fact that people are unable to disconnect from their mobile device. So if they're not connected to their mobile device, they're experiencing duress. No mobility connection, no mo-phobia. What's interesting about this is that, and there's numbers that go with it. In fact, studies show that about 66% of people have extreme anxiety if they lose connection. How many of you have watched the dots fall away? The batteries die? Or if their phone is left at home? I knew I would hit a nerve on that one, all right? Listen, this message has me all over it, okay? So I'm not preaching from an ivory tower of having beat this one, so now I'm going to talk to you poor, pitiful people. I'm actually preaching this one right to me. You guys get to listen today. Here's how you know it's for real. I don't just have an iPhone. I have a Mophie case on my iPhone, which means I've got two batteries, so I never run out of juice. So I'm guilty today. For those of you who are 18 to 24, that number actually jumps to 76%. 76%. Over 3 in 4 people in that age group have massive fear of not being able to connect online. And you only see it when they're actually disconnected or tell them to disconnect, all right? So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help show us, Lord, what are you really saying to me that I need to know today so my life changes for the better? Lord, be with us today. By the work of the Holy Spirit, we're asking you would cause our minds to clue into what we need. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. So as we're getting into this morning, what I want you to see is right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's the second part of verse 12. NIV says, everything is permissible for me, but I will not be, what's that phrase? Mastered by anything. All right. The context here is that the grace of God makes much in life permissible so that the things that we do don't disqualify us from heaven. But just because something is permissible doesn't mean it's advantageous to us. And especially, we should never be mastered by it. All right? So, for example, salt. Eating salt doesn't send you to hell. Eating salt won't keep you from heaven. You may get to the fork in the road faster because you die sooner. So it's not constructive. So it's permissible, but it may not be beneficial to you. All right? So as we're going through this, the bottom line is many of us find that we're mastered by or drawn to, addicted to, or compulsively checking in all the time on technology. In fact, just to make sure we're on the same page, I've figured out a list of the top 7 ways to know you might be addicted to social media, all right? Number 7 is you plan your throwback Thursdays weeks in advance. All right? Number 6, your cat has its own Instagram page. Number 5, you look forward to going to the bathroom so you can get to level 7 on your favorite game. Now listen, if your legs fall asleep while you're in the restroom, you have a problem. I'm just saying. Number 4, you change your Facebook profile more often than a 12-year-old girl does. Number 3, you sleep with your phone like a teddy bear. Bingo, touche, I got about half of you right there, all right? Number three. Number 2, you actually say sorry, not sorry in real life. Or number 1, you ask your spouse, hashtag, are you in the mood? I'm just saying, that's a bad idea. You're probably going to get hashtag, I've got a headache in response. Here's some stats that are actually in your note. These are actually quite staggering when you think about it. Write this down. 58% of people don't go 1 waking hour without checking their phone. 58%. 59% of people check their email as it comes in, just like that. And 89% check it daily on vacation. 80% of teenagers sleep with their phones. I'm just saying, you need help, you need counseling, you need Jesus. And for the teenagers that are in their 40s and 50s and 60s, you need help, you need counseling, and you need Jesus too. It's interesting how something as innocuous as a cell phone has made its way irretractably into the core of who we are. They might as well sew it on our hands. They probably will at some point. I'm sure Google is making something up as we go. Here's the last one. 84% of people believe they couldn't go one day without their phones, okay? All right, so nomophobia. What is all this pointing to? Here's the bottom line. Here's what happens to so many of us. We have an inability to actually shut down. What's going on in this phenomenon we're experiencing is it keeps everyone, it keeps us revved. We were not designed to rev all of the time. God creatively built us with bursts of unbelievable energy and focus that is very constructive when we need it. But many people have actually tried to tap into that almost like, how many of you know the story of the Hulk? Dr. David Banner? All right, in every generation, they've found a way to bring him back now. So we're all up to speed on David Banner, who's using radiation to try to tap into something that gives you that superhuman strength, except it got out of bounds. Many people live with that idea going all the time. They never shut down. We don't get into long stretches of focused concentration and productive work. We find it on our inability to be creative because we're constantly distracted by ding, whatever your noise is that interrupts your creativity. All right, we're overwhelmed and we don't know why. We're short with our children and we don't know why. Spiritually, we feel exhausted and we don't know why. We're longing for something more and yet we keep going back to the very thing that's causing the thing that causing the experience we're having, we keep going back to it as if it's going to fill something finally. I don't think anyone would argue with the fact that there is truth to the statement, we need rest. How many of you know we actually need rest? But sleep is not the same as rest. Your soul needs a break. You need to unplug. Now, the God of the universe who created all this actually modeled it for us when he went through the creation experience. So 6 days, he's doing this indescribable work of creation. And then the seventh day, he what? Rested. This is so important that he actually put this issue in the top 10. In the top 10. You know the Ten Commandments? It's in there. And it isn't, make sure you have a day off from work so you can lose yourself in gaming all day. Selah. Now listen, it's not just young people that are doing this. The people in their 60s and 70s are losing their marriages because of it. So we'll snicker and laugh, and we should in church, you know, along some of these lines. But the reality is there's real pain that goes with this. It's not just a harmless little something. We need to pay attention to what's going on because there are real answers to what actually is causing duress and problems in people's lives. I love technology, but I refuse to be mastered by it. I love technology. I love my iPhone. I love my iPad. I love my MacBook. I know other people like your, I don't even have words for that. I was in an airplane just this week, and apparently, I'm not going to say the brand because I'll get sued, but there's a brand of phone you can't even have on an airplane anymore because the batteries blow up. God bless you if you have one of those. I'm just messing with you. I'm a Mac guy, but hey, the reality is, it doesn't matter what type of technology, technology is working its way into us. But the bottom line is, we find ourselves constantly connected constantly have a low-grade frustration all the time, and probably what's going on is your soul is starving for rest. Your soul needs to disconnect and charge up. So I want to talk to you today about something that God has created for us. It's called rest. Turn and touch your neighbor and said, rest. All right, turn and touch your other neighbor, you know, your second favorite one, the one you didn't to that time, and say, this is good for you too. You guys having fun this morning? All right, let's take a look at this. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 says this. So there is a special rest, check this out, still waiting for God's, for the people of God. Now watch this. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to what? Enter that rest. Why is it that there is a longing, such a deep longing in our souls, that the things we think will make us happy ultimately don't, and they addict us to cycles that keep our souls from resting? Why is that? St. Augustine said, hundreds of years ago, he said this quote, "You have made us for yourselves, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you." Until it finds rest in you. I want to acknowledge this morning that this is something I struggle with too. I'm a pastor. I've got degrees in theology, psychology. I understand all this stuff, but all of us are susceptible to the things we're talking about today. Knowing something is not the same as applying wisdom to it. You can know everything you need to know and still experience the devastation of not applying it if you choose not to apply it. But all of us have compelling reasons why we think this is not a bad idea for me. Now, it's a terrible thing for Cliff Schertz. He should not have a cell phone at all, but I can handle it. And we all tend to think about things this same way. I think today's topic captures exactly where most of us truly are. Our soul has been restless for so long. Listen to what Jesus actually said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. He said it this way. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will what? Give you rest." Perhaps all I needed to do was just use this one verse. Maybe I could have done a whole sermon in just one verse in a closing. I'm not going to ask you to do this, but if I did, perhaps many people in this room would say, that's me, if I asked with the raising of your hand, how many of you would say I'm weary and or I feel like I'm constantly carrying a heavy burden? That's who we are. That's who we are. And Jesus said, I didn't create you for that. You don't have to carry that. You can, but you don't have to. Yeah, but Pastor Dave, if you knew, fill in the blank, and I would say, I know what you mean by that, because I have some if you knew fill in the blanks too. But what I do know is this, God said, if you're weary and carry a heavy burden, I don't mean your schedule's full. I'm talking about there is an experience in your soul where your soul is burdened by a load. This message is for you. And while everything is permissible, not everything is advantageous. And today, I believe God would say to his people, don't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. Don't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Just because you're my people, you still have to know and apply what truth actually is. And then you'll experience the blessing of being my people. And today, I want to say, that's what I believe, if Jesus were here today in physical form, I mean, get the picture of that. Can you imagine what it would be like to actually, Jesus just walked up on the podium and said, all right, Dave, step aside, let me take care of this. I mean, could you imagine what that would be like just to sit there and listen to Jesus? And I'd have my pencils out, my pens. I'd take notes with both hands. But I would argue the case this morning that by the work of the Holy Spirit, through a yielded vessel called a pastor, Jesus is actually talking to you. He's sitting down in front of you to say, if you're carrying a heavy burden, come to me. If you're carrying a heavy burden, come to me. Why? I'll give you rest. I'll take the load of that. I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. You know what a yoke is? If you're a pilot, usually a yoke is what you fly the airplane with. But in the biblical context, and what most people think of, a yoke is actually an apparatus that links two animals together in a harness of sorts and allows them to pull a load together. On the one hand, a yoke could be construed to be a restraining device, because that animal couldn't run free and do what it wants to do. But in the context of what I think God is saying to you today is, no, let me go ahead and yoke you in. Don't just run free. You don't know how to make the decisions of your own life. Let me lead you. Your wanter will drive you into insanity. Let me actually yoke yourself into me and let me guide you. Why? Two things will happen. I won't let you go. Number two, I'll take you where you need to go and I'll pull the load. That's what God is saying. Now, I don't know who this is for, to be honest with you. I'm completely freestyling by the Holy Spirit this morning, because this wasn't in the context of my notes, but somebody in here needs to know that there is a name you've put on a load, or there's a circumstance you've put on a load, or there's an impossible sticker on the face of a load, and you're saying, this is impossible, it can't be done. Over and over and over, I've tried and I can't figure this out, and Jesus is saying, take my yoke. Come to me and take my yoke. I'll lead you through it. God wants you to know he's already where the circumstance is resolved and redemption is known. The way you get there is yoke up with him and trust him as he leads you forward. And when the load gets too much, rest your soul in him. Say, God, I can't carry this load. You can carry that, and he will. How do we find rest? Well, part of it is what we're talking about today. Let me give you two practical things you can do to find rest. Number one is be still. Learn to be still. To be disconnected from the constant on of our culture and be still in the presence of God. Be still, not just like veg out and kind of watch a movie. Be still in the presence of God. We see this context in Psalms chapter 46, first part of verse 10. It says this, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Be still in the context of who I am as God. Be still in my presence and know that I am God. Psalms 131 verse 2 says, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child my soul is within me. What's he saying? I have stilled. Circle the phrase, I have. I have. It didn't mean my soul suddenly just became still. It says, I have stilled my soul. How do you still your soul? You disconnect from what's stirring your soul up and intentionally focus on God. Write this down. He intentionally quieted his soul. It did not happen by itself. Why is it so important to understand? Because many times we come to God and say, God, take this issue from me, but we won't disconnect from it. We have to disconnect and let God take it. I've got an experiment I want to give you for this week. Just try it. Every day, Every day, I want you to spend 5 minutes a day doing nothing. Some people are like, got that one down. That's all I do. I do nothing. I have no job. I have no purpose. I do nothing. I'm not talking to you. You need to get off your couch and go do something. Everybody else, do nothing. I say that tongue in cheek. You guys, obviously, sometimes that happens to all of us. My point is, do nothing 5 minutes a day. Think about nothing. Just be still before God. 5 minutes. Some of you can't take it right now. It's like, say something. Dude, get the motion going on. It's like being in a house with no TV going. I mean, so literally, some of you are down. Some of you were playing. Some of you were texting while I was preaching. And as long as the words kept going, you thought I didn't see you. But literally, I saw this happen. I stopped it. 10 seconds into it, somebody went. Like, did you have a stroke? Are you dead? 10 minutes. Oh, excuse me, 5 minutes. Just try 5 minutes doing nothing. Be still. Still your soul. Have the discipline not to be mastered all the time by what's in your hands. Let God have that load. Number two, make a plan. Make a plan. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:16, the Living Bible, it says, a wise man thinks ahead, a fool doesn't, and even brags about it. A wise man has a... That's hard to say for some of you, isn't it? Let's say it together. A wise man has a plan. A plan. Have a plan. Because if you don't, I guarantee you're going to drift into the very trap we're talking about. Have a plan. Have a plan with that phone. Have a plan with that technology. Have a plan. Why? Because it's dominating you. It's mastering you. You say, how do you know? Because you can't set it down. You can't turn it off and walk away for more than 5 minutes. It's got you by the soul. And God wants you to know today, don't be mastered by that. Have a plan. Have a plan. You say, hey, listen, man, it's no big deal. I was so busted with this. Just the other day, I'm embarrassed to admit this. But at LifeLink, we lead with the limp. We wobble out loud. None of us are perfect. We all live life together and we learn together, all right? So, but I was going down the road the other day and Sri was talking to me or whatever it was, and somebody texted me while we were going down the road. I didn't even think about it. She picked up the phone. She's talking, I'm driving and texting. She said, stop! I'm like, what? It masters us so easily. I mean, I was breaking the law. I was like, and literally, this is how we think. I can handle this. See, no, I got plenty of margin up there. I've got 10 seconds worth of wiggle room right here. Straight ahead, no big deal and all that. She says, if you won't do it for you, you need to do it for me. I'm in this car with you. Somehow the lights went on. And I just decided, you know, staying married is important. So, probably for me, I should turn my phone off when I turn my car on. Why? Because you keep texting me. Now, you don't realize it because there's only one of you in your mind. When I look at you, there's 1,000 of you. All right, you're like, oh, this one, this is no big deal. And honestly, I love doing life with you. That isn't the issue. But I need to have a plan. You see it? You need to have a plan. Because you may just be picking up the phone at your dinner table, not having any idea. You're careening off the cliff of your relationship. But it just looks like, oh, just a quick little text. But on the other side of the table, somebody's soul is going dark. Why? Because you won't connect with them. Have a plan. Have a plan. All right, need a defensive plan? Maybe your defensive plan, I gave you some blanks there on your pages. Your defensive plan could just be whatever you want. Maybe no phone during the dinner. Maybe turn it off social media notifications. Some of you, your phone dings all the time, and it's because somebody put one more cup of coffee up there with a little swirly on top of it with a little heart in it. It's like, oh, I can't miss that picture. Yes, you can. Who cares what somebody's lipstick of the day is? Y'all see what we're saying? Have a plan. Does it have its place? Yes. But have a defensive plan. Put a time limit on your day. Some of you actually need to say, at 10 o'clock, the phone goes off and on the charger, and I don't just turn it on silent because I hear the bzz. Turn it off. Yeah, but what if my friends need to reach me? That's what voicemail's for. But what if they're in jeopardy? They're probably not. You're using that as an enabling device. That's an excuse. It's rationale. You're killing yourself. Turn it off. Let your soul charge up. If they're in a crisis, you'll be fully charged, ready for them when you actually become aware of it, instead of one more frazzled response that doesn't make any difference anyway because you got nothing in your tank. So charge up. Put the oxygen mask on you first, then the friend. Does that make sense, everybody? You need a defensive plan and you need an offensive plan. What does that mean, an offensive plan? An offensive plan, use technology for what it's worth, of what it's for. What does that mean? Well, what if your offensive plan is this? Or my defensive plan is I'm turning it off from 10 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. When I pick it up at 7 o'clock, I'm not going straight to Instagram or my inbox or your bank account. When you pick up the phone in the morning, the first thing you do is I'm going to write to my devotional app and I'm going to get the word in. Does that make sense? So have an offensive plan. Maybe you need to have in your plan 5-minute breaks where you actually turn technology off and you sit and contemplate on the faithfulness of God. You know, 10, 2, and 4. Instead of a Snickers bar and a Dr. Pepper, which you don't need the calories anyway. How do you know? You ever look in the mirror? You don't need them calories. How do I know? I look in the same mirror. I don't need them calories either. I could probably use 5 more minutes of quieting my soul in the presence of God than 500 more calories. Amen? Bottom line is, listen to this. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. What if there were some ancient disciplines that are higher in contribution to your life than new technologies? What if some of the ancient disciplines of fasting, devotion, regular prayer, meditating on the Word of God, what if some of those ancient paths are what's needed? You think about it. 5 minutes on Instagram or 5 minutes in Scripture, which do you think would actually fill your soul more? It's just 5 minutes, Pastor Dave. I'm just taking a restroom break, whatever. Listen, God doesn't care if you read your Bible app on the toilet. It's okay with Him. It's better than that game anyway. Yeah, but I just need to disconnect. Yeah, disconnect with intention. Stop the intrusion of technology and use it for what it's for. Ancient paths. Ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. Why? Why walk in the good ways? Why walk in God's good ways? Why? Because then you will find rest for your soul. Your soul. I submit to you this morning that most of what drives people to poor choices is not simply the distraction of competing ideas. What usually pulls the trigger for more people when it comes to disastrous choices is that their soul is so dry. Their soul is so fatigued. Their soul is so fractured that when the whiff of temptation comes by, for whatever distraction it might be, whatever addiction it might be, it could be ESPN, it could be online gaming, it could be internet porn, it could be too much time at Starbucks, it could be avoiding work one more day, I have no idea what your issues are, but if your soul is absolutely tanked. Just a whiff of whatever it was that gets you will get you. Why not instead fill your soul with God? Now, your flesh doesn't want that to happen. I don't mean your skin. I'm talking about the carnal drive inside all of us. Doesn't want that to happen. For the record, the cultural values around us doesn't want it to happen either. Culture needs you wired in so you keep inputting into the culture. We are the ones who need our souls rested. Why? Because a rested soul in the hand of God is a powerful tool for redemption. Amen? Let me pray for you this morning. Father, thank you for who you are and how you're working in our lives. Today, God, we acknowledge that every one of us need the truth of this message. I'm asking God for grace in this place. Everybody look at me just for a second. Let me do something I don't normally do. How many of you would say that either today or somewhere in this series, God has spoken directly to you about something you need to change in your life? Hands up. Leave them up just for a second. Okay, just look around for a second. All right, you know what that means? That means every one of us are just people. All right, let's put those hands down. We're just people. Let's grace one another to step into the obedience of God. Let's encourage each other with this. If someone says, hey, I'm tapping out on Instagram for a couple weeks, or hey, I'm turning my phone off, don't be the one that says, hey, what if I need to reach you? Just go, great. Enjoy some rest. What would happen if the people of God actually charged up on the inside? If we get this right, you think we might be a contrasting light in a chaotic world of darkness, whose people are driven by circumstances on empty souls? What if they saw what hope really looked like? So I'm going to pray for you that God gives you the grace to make those changes. Heavenly Father, all those hands were up moments ago. We asked, Lord, you would cause us to be able to step into grace and make changes. That we would be strength for one another. Lord, that we'd have the courage to actually connect with a friend, a spouse, someone to say, hey, this is what I feel like I need to do for a defensive plan, and here's something I'm going to do for an offensive plan. And Lord, that you would give us the grace to really connect with each other and help each other be strong. And I thank you, Lord, for the difference you're going to make in the families of this and the friendships in this church family. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to talk to some of you who are in this place and you know that you desperately need to connect with Jesus Christ. Your soul is so tired. It's so heavy. The burden you're carrying is crushing you on the inside. And what you really need is to give your life to Jesus Christ and let him lift the load of guilt, the load of condemnation, the complexities of that circumstance. You need to walk in his lordship, walk in his yoke. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ today. If that's you today, in about a minute, I'm going to say a life change prayer, and I'd like to pray that prayer with you. But I'm going to ask you to make the decision today. Is today the day I'm going to give my life actually to Jesus and ask him to serve as the Lord of my life? Maybe for the first time, or it could be the first time in a long time, where you're either saying yes to Jesus for the first time or yes again. But today you're saying, yes, Jesus, I want to start a fresh start with you. I'm willing to walk through this fresh start process completely as if I'd never done this before and give my life completely to you. If you're in here today, you're not sure where you are with God, or you know for a fact today is your yes day, and you, in either case, you're saying yes to Jesus. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up in just a moment. We're going to pray this prayer together. One, please don't overthink this. This is not that hard. It's a simple yes or no. Many of you today are in the place of yes. Two, there are things that you don't understand about it yet completely, but I'm saying the only thing God needs is your yes. He'll put people around you to show you how to take the next steps forward. And God's going to do something great, all right? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. I'm not going to ask you to stand, come to the front. When I say three, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up. We're going to pray together, all right? Three. Leave your hand up just for a moment. One, two, three, four, five, six, who else? Seven, who else? I don't want to miss anyone. Eight, nine. Anybody else? Okay, you can put your hands down just for a moment. All right, everybody look at me. We're gonna pray together. I wanna thank you for putting your hand up. If you had your hand up, I'm gonna ask, as we all say this out loud together, especially open your mouth, and say this prayer after me. Let's say it together. Heavenly Father, thank you for being good to me. Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I'm asking you to cleanse me completely. Come into my heart, the middle of who I am, and take charge of my life. Lead me and direct me forward as my God. I'm giving my life to you. I'm taking the yoke of obedience from you today and putting it on my life. I will follow you as my God from this day forward. Strengthen me by the Holy Spirit that I'll have everything I need to follow through on this. In Jesus' name. Hey, let's just give the Lord a great big thanks today.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.